to Revelation in chapter 3, the book of the Revelation in chapter 3. We'll start in verse 1. Now today we're going to be preaching on the church at Sardis. The church at Sardis is a church, to be honest with you, that has its problems just like most of these other churches. But there is a remnant within that church that wants to do right and what wants to honor the Lord. But I want you to notice, starting here in verse 1, and the Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the blessings that you give us. And God, I pray that by the power of your Spirit today, that, Lord, you'd help us. You'd help us to be able to preach, help us to be able to teach, help us to be able to expound what your word has to say. Lord, if there be one here among us that's lost, I pray that you do a work in their heart. Lord, if there be one here today that's backslid, I pray that you draw them back closer to you in fellowship. And God, I pray that all we do just be for your glory. Now lead us, guide us, and direct us. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray and ask these things. Amen. Here in the book of the Revelation in chapter 3, we continue on with the series on the Lord's kind of churches. We have seen that there are different kinds of churches. We have seen that in chapter 2, starting in verse 1, that verses 1 through 7, the church at Ephesus was a church that, while it was good in a lot of ways, it had left its first love. We found the church of Smyrna was a poor little rich church, verses 8 through 11. But yet they weren't rebuked because they had done what was right. Then we come to verses 12 down through verse 17 in chapter 2. And we find the church of Pergamos, and this is a church that was very worldly in a lot of what they'd done. Then we come to the church at Thyatira, verses 18 through 29. And here we found a church that had done some good things, but they had also allowed a Jezebel. I don't believe it was her name, but it was a Jezebel, someone like Jezebel, wicked, ungodly, and someone that had no business being a leader and a preacher and a teacher in that church. And so they were rebuked for that. Then we come to chapter 3. Chapter 3, we find, this is the church at Sardis. Now, this church at Sardis, we find in verse 1, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis, to this pastor write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." Now, the seven spirits of God, what is that talking about there? Well, I believe this, folks. The Spirit of God indwells each and every person that is saved by the grace of God, right? We know that. Well, we also know that the Lord's churches is also indwelled. Of course, Jesus Christ is in the midst. And then also the Spirit of God, I believe, is in the midst of those churches too. Because obviously, God's people are in those churches. So, this talking about, different authors have different opinions, But from what I can understand, the seven spirits of God here is talking about these seven churches, and they each one have the Spirit of God within them. Then notice this too. And the seven stars. Now the seven stars are the seven churches. Then we come, says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Now notice that there. It said, I know thy works. He says that to every one of those churches. So I know what you do. I know what you don't do. But then he says that thou hast a name that thou livest. Said, you've got a name that you're alive. You've got a name that everything's good. But you are not alive. You are what? You're dead. Now remember, this church was in the city of Sardis. And this place was a preeminent place. It was very much a rich town. It was the same distance from Smyrna and Thyatira. It was formerly the capital of the kingdom of Lydia. And it is celebrated in history as the residence of Croesus, who was known for his great riches, which were seized by Cyrus in aid of his expedition or whenever he went up against and battle and war against Babylon. Now, in the usual course of all these places, it fell. Now, it fell into the hands of the Persians, then to the Macedonians, then to the Roman Empire. Now, there is only a village that remains nearby where there are some remains of this city today. Now, I want you to notice this, and I want you to think about this. This church, apparently, or this city, apparently, was very well known and had some good things going for it. Probably pretty famous. But you know what? God said this to them. Said, you've got a name. Your name is that everything's good. You've got a name that you're alive. You've got a name that you're a thriving church. But you're really dead. Now, does that make sense? How can you be alive and yet dead? Understand what he's talking about here is that as people look on the outside in, everything looks great. You know, and I want you to think about this today, okay? You got everything going. You got a nice building. Man, you got nice pews, got nice chairs. Everything looks good. Man, you've got a good group of people. You got people that give. Man, everything looks great, right? But God said everything's not great. And you know, folks, we should be more concerned about what God thinks about us than what the world thinks. I'll be honest with you, folks. We ought to be more concerned about what God thinks about us than what we think about ourselves. Because the fact of the matter is, every one of us here, I'm going to tell you, and I've used this example before. Man, men, let's be honest. Sometimes we look in the mirror and we think to ourselves, we don't see as we are now. We see ourselves as we were 25 years ago. Look in the mirror, we suck it in. And you look good. You still got it. I had a kid that I coached in football. He is 28 years old now. I coached him when he was 10. That tells you how long ago that's been. There was a picture of me when I was 26 years old and him together after a Super Bowl. He sent it to me last night, and I looked at that picture and I just shook my head. I was 26 years old, and I'll be honest with you. I told Tara, I said, man, I thought I was fat then. Man, alive, I look good. Comparatively speaking, how about that? But you see what I'm saying? We've got these glasses on where we see ourselves as we want to. We see ourselves all prettied up, and we think, man, we really got it going on. But if we'd look at ourselves in reality, we'd see that we don't have a size 34 waist anymore. I won't even tell you what my waist is now. We don't have a size 17 dress shirt. We don't have all this stuff where we're like we used to be. If we look at ourselves as we really are, folks, we'd see the mess that we are. And that's what Jesus is telling here. Quit looking at yourselves the way everyone else sees you. I want you to see as I see you. Verse 2. In this rebuke, let me continue on with this thought. This church is not given as one that is high and lifted up, but they're being rebuked straightway. And then we find in verse 2, he says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain." So there are some things that remain, okay? There are some things that are good. He said, and you need to strengthen those things. He says, that are ready to die. Don't let it die. Don't let it die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. He said, you need to pay attention, be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain. What are those things maybe that remain? Well, maybe there is some love for the Lord in that church. Don't let the love for the Lord die. Maybe there is some faithfulness remaining in that church. Don't let that faithfulness die. Keep pumping. Keep plugging away. Maybe they were still preaching the gospel of Christ. Keep preaching Christ. Keep preaching the gospel. Strengthen those things which remain. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. You're not doing what you ought to be doing. You know, as a parent, sometimes we have to tell our kids that, don't we? We don't like to do that. Believe it or not, kids, your parents do not enjoy coming to you and telling you that you're going to have to step it up. They don't like coming to you and telling you that you're not doing right. I'll be honest with you. I wished that I could always look at my son and tell him, you're always doing exactly what I want you to do. Keep it up. I wish I could always pat him on the back. I wish I could always tell him that he's doing exactly what he should be doing all the time. But you know what? If I'm going to be a good parent, I can't do that, especially when he's not doing right. Listen, do you think it brought Jesus Christ? Do you believe it brought God pleasure to tell this church at Sardis? Listen, there's some things you're not doing right. Do you think he enjoyed telling the church at Ephesus, you know, there's some things you're doing good, but you've left your first love? Imagine the heartbreak. Do you think that it was a joy for him to tell the church at Pergamos and Thyatira the things that they ought to get right? I can assure you, it was not a joy, but it was needful to be done. Understand, as he's talking to this church at Smyrna and this pastor saying, you better get things straight or there's going to be problems. Verse 3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Look at that in verse 3. Remember. Remember in other places throughout this, he says, remember. Remember how you used to do things. So he's talking to the church at Ephesus, but you left your first love. Remember. Repent. Or I will remove thy candlestick. Listen, he's saying this right here. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received. What have they received? They've received knowledge of God. They've received the truth. They've received the gospel. Not only did they receive it, but they've heard. And then he says, hold fast. Get a hold of these truths. Don't let go. and repent. If you know, and listen, folks, this is what he's doing to the church at Sardis. He's telling them what they need to hear. They need to repent. They need to turn back. They need to get things right. Sometimes, folks, we need to hear the same thing. We need to repent. I want to ask you a question today. Where are you at in your spiritual walk? Where are you at in your daily walk with God? Are you reading your Bible? Are you thinking on the things of God? Are you praying as you should? Are you listening to the right kind of music? Listen, I'm not going to be the music police. I'm not going to sit here and try to play the Holy Spirit with you. You got the Holy Spirit if you're saved. But you know that if something does not glorify God, if it glorifies the flesh, then you don't need anything to do with it. But over and over again, he tells them, repent. Listen, if you're not doing what you ought to be doing, if you're not being faithful to God, and let me tell you something, folks. You're not going to be faithful to God if you're not faithful to the Lord's day. All right? And being faithful to the Lord's house. You can't be faithful in other ways. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Let me give you an example. You start missing here and there. You know what's going to end up happening? It's going to be here, there, and yon. And it's going to be more consistent, more consistent, more consistent. And then what's going to happen, folks, is before you know it, you're going to be out of church altogether. You're going to be in a place here in about 5 years where you're going to look back like what happened. You know how I know that? Because I've seen it. I'm 44 years old. I know it's hard to believe. I look 20. It's hard to believe I've been pastoring for 18 years and 20 years old. I mean, that's just hard to believe, right? But all joking aside, it. Kids don't hear about Christ. Kids are lost. I'm going to tell you, I went to church with people that, folks, they don't darken the doors anymore. And I'm talking about people that were faithful. And just a little bit here and a little bit there. And before you know it, they're nowhere to be seen. Listen, I understand what the church of Sardis is being told here, but he's talking about here, folks, repent of those things that get in your way. Repent of those things that hinder you from serving God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, so you don't pay attention, so I will come on thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. So it's going to come. He's going to come back. These things are going to happen. Verse 4. Thou hast a few names. Talking about the church there at Sardis, okay? Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The first group he's talking about, you need to get things right. But then the second group, he's saying, listen, you're doing things right. You keep doing what you're supposed to do. You've not defiled your garments. You're walking with me. You're worthy. Verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. In other words, these are people that have proven that they're mine. Listen, I don't believe you can lose your salvation. Man, I believe this. I believe that once you are in the hands of God, you're in his hands. Right? That's what the Bible teaches. But I do believe this, that according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, any man that is in Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's a change. There's a difference in their lives. They're no longer the way they used to be. And you know, we remember the parable of the sower. There was some that was, the seed went on hard ground. Some was seed that went into the weeds and so forth. They were choked out. Those were tares. Those were not what you would call good seed that sprang up. But then you had the seed that was planted and it sprung up in good solid ground. They continued. Listen, a person that is saved by the grace of God, they can get into sin for a while. And they can get into a lot of issues. And I'm telling you right now, I'm one of them. Alright? I don't say that braggingly. I'm telling you that after the Lord saved me for a season, I got in some trouble. But God, by His grace, chastised me and brought me out of it. Could have been bad. But let me say this today, folks. Those that are His, they will continue with Him. They will walk with Him. They will serve Him. They will overcome. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father, before his angels. In other words, that's his child. Verse 6. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. One of the great problems that happens is this. Sometimes churches, folks, they start off good, and then after a period of time, they get laxed. They get to a place where they're content. They just want to do their thing. We've always done it this way, so we're going to continue to do it. Listen, if there's things being done biblically, that's okay. But you know, sometimes there comes a time when we got to look at things. I'm talking about as a church. We got to see what we're doing. We've got to see if what we're doing is glorifying God or if it's a bunch of man-made rules. I kind of think that's what was going on here. And listen, folks, it's two ways. That can happen in two ways. You can have man-made rules where anything goes. I know churches where they have beer and Bible study. Now, no. Can't do it. I know of churches, supposed, one church that advertised themselves as a church, and they ended up being a club for, and I'm trying to be delicate here, for couples who enjoyed the company of other couples. Listen, that's wrong. And folks, it's like that everywhere. People come up with these rules and they think everything's great. We can do this, we can do that. When what we ought to be doing is we ought to be consulting God's Word. What does God say? Then you have the other extreme, where it's all about the preacher. And where he comes up with these rules, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and before you know it, the church gets so caught up in that, it's dead, clammy, and cold. I'm going to tell you what we need, folks. We need to get back to what the book says. What does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us, go into all the world and make disciples. Preaching the gospel. The Bible tells us that we're to have fellowship one with another. The Bible tells us that we as God's people ought to be a people that love one another and be a help to one another. We as a church ought to be a group of people that we like to be around one another. I'd love, I'm just going to tell you right now, one of the things I'd love to do, I'd love to have some things here. Not in place of church, mind you, but have times of fellowship, things we can do together. But the thing is, folks, it's got to be the church. It's got to be all of us. Do we want that? Do we want to have that fellowship? Do we want to grow together? Do we want to show the love of Christ not to just the community, but to each other? Listen, I'm thankful for this church. And you know, I appreciate every one of you. If I could, I would literally sit here and thank each and every one of you for being here today. And I mean that. But let me tell you, we as a church, we've got to get a vision. And we've got to see what God has called us to do and what He's called us to be. And it can't just be this group here and this group there. It's got to be the church as a whole. It's got to be each one of us working together for the honor and the glory of God. And if we don't do that, let me tell you what's going to happen. We could very easily be like the church of Sardis. We need to have a name before God. Say, Brother Troy, what are you talking about? Tell you, listen, this isn't because I think something's going on. This is, listen, preventive maintenance. These are things we need to look at. Each and every one of us, we need to consider, how can I, as a member, make things better? How can I glorify God better? How can I be a better church member? How can I glorify Christ? And I promise you, if we'll do that, let me tell you what will happen. God will bless this church. He's already blessed this church. Thank the Lord He added someone here recently. There's others that pray about it, talk about it. We talked to someone the other night till very late about some things. I'm very thankful for that. But folks, we got to make sure that we're focused. And I'll make you a promise. You put God first in everything you do. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that everything's going to be perfect. But I will tell you this. God will honor it and bless it. So folks, while there was a remnant in the church at Sardis, while there was a people that was there that was bringing honor and glory to God, let's make sure that we're all faithful. And let's make sure that we're a people that honors God in all that we do. Let's all stand. Come and lead us in a verse of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart for any reason at all, we invite you to